You're listening to the Doing English Podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Hi, this is Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome! Welcome to episode 48 of the Doing English Podcast. What, my friend, are we going to be talking about in this week's exciting installment of the podcast? This week, I'm going to share with you two, aren't you lucky, two tips to speak better English. Tips that I learned from a year and a half of trying to hire the right accountant. Exciting stuff. No? Yes, it is. I can tell you now. It certainly is. And these two tips, if you take them on board, listen to the advice that I give you and actually do these things, promise me now that you will, these tips, I think, will make a big, big difference to your English and indeed the speed at which you improve. Before we get into that, though, January 28th, Tokyo. We are going to be doing the first ever live Doing English event. It's called LKC Squared. How to be an intelligent-sounding, sophisticated speaker of English. We're going to dive deep, deep, deep into a concept that I call the LKC Triangle. The LKC Triangle is a philosophy of learning. The free things that you need to speak a language well. I'll give you a hint. The L is language. Language alone is not enough. We're going to touch upon that in today's podcast episode. But for more details, head over to doingenglish.com/event. On that page, you will find a video where I briefly talk about the LKC triangle and indeed the three things that you need to speak English well. You will also see information about the actual event and, if you so wish, and you should, how to register for the event. It is free to Doing English Plus members, and non-members can join us for a small fee. There are 15 places available. At the time of recording this, 12 of them have been taken, so there are only about 3 places left. If you want to join us, you need to hurry up and get on there. We're also going to be repeating the event on February the 18th in Ottawa, Canada. There are still quite a few places left for that one, and indeed, at the time of recording, I think we've only got 2 registrations for that. So if you can't make the Tokyo event, but you are closer to Ottawa, Canada, join us. Again, information can be found at doingenglish.com/event. You'll also see a video on there talking about the LKC triangle itself. So if you're just curious about what these three things that you need to speak the English language well are, check it out. Okay, let's get into this week's episode. It was almost like techno then, wasn't it? Get. No? Okay, whatever. What was I talking about? I've lost my train of thought now. These days, I swear, the older I get, the more I digress. And the more I digress, the more I forget what I was actually talking about in the first place. Two tips that I learned from hiring an accountant. Some of you may know, some of you may not. It depends on how long you have been with us here in the Doing English podcast. Some of you may know, but I have been doing English for quite a few years now, but it became my full-time job in 2014, April 1st, 2014, in fact. Yes, April Fool's Day, and actually my dad's birthday as well. April 1st, 2014 was my first day of doing English as a full-time job. And as soon as I made it my full-time job and I left the comfort of working in a company, suddenly I found myself in the position of having to do my own accounting. I guess it depends on your job, but generally speaking, I think in Japan, I think probably in most countries, to be perfectly honest, although I don't really know, certainly every job I've ever had has been like this. When I worked at a company, I didn't have to do my own accounting. Of course, the company's accountant did everything. The tax went out of my wage each month. And at the end of the year, I had to apply for a tax rebate because, hey, you know, they always overtax you, don't they? That is a topic for another day. But, you know, it's all pretty simple stuff. But as soon as I became a full-time self-employed worker, I had to do my own accounting. Now, perhaps in retrospect, rather bravely, my wife and I, my wife is my business partner in this venture, my wife and I decided we were going to do our accounting ourselves. How hard can it be? We said. Famous last words. Long story short, for the period of 2014, we totally ballsed up our accounting. We completely messed it up. We got confused. We almost didn't get the paperwork in on time. And we basically managed to get no tax reductions whatsoever, meaning we totally overpaid on our tax, making us doing it ourselves to save a bit of cash. Idiotic, to say the least. Because, hey, we lost far more by not getting it done properly than we made by having done it ourselves, saved by having done it ourselves, rather, I should say. So we decided to look for an accountant. We decided we can't do this again. This is ridiculous. There's no way. It's stupid. And at this point, doing English was steadily growing as well. And, you know, we just saw that our accounting for the next period was just going to be so much harder and just impossible. So we decided to go out and look for an accountant. Now, I had absolutely no idea where to start for looking for an accountant, so I did what I guess most people do. I asked a friend of mine, someone who now works in a company, but once upon a time did freelance translation. And he recommended me to an international accounting firm. This worked out perfectly for us, we thought, because, you know, we're in kind of quite a unique or at least uncommon situation in Japan in that doing English, it's all in pounds. The reason for that is because the kind of software that I use to run the Doing English website to take payments from you guys when you join courses and things like that. You know, these software services are all made in America for the most part. You know, you get some fairly good stuff in the UK and things like that. Japan, however, despite its technologically advanced image, in terms of the internet and services available, it's about 10 years behind everyone else. And so I am quite limited to the software that I can use in terms of Japanese stuff, stuff which can process Japanese yen. So I use a service based in America, Samcart. Samcart manages all my payments for me and everything. I absolutely love the service. It's completely hassle-free, etc., etc. But it means that I earn money in pounds, which is quite hard to deal with here in Japan when it comes to doing tax paperwork, which of course all assumes Japanese yen. So we needed a special accountant, we thought. So this international accounting firm seemed absolutely perfect. They were a little bit expensive, by which I mean they were really expensive. But hey, you know, a good value service is a good value service. I'm not one to run away at the price. And in fact, I find high prices quite reassuring because if something is cheap, you know, generally there is a reason for that. Doing English Plus, I think, is a good example of that. It's expensive, but oh my God, is it good, even if I do say so myself. So anyway, we decided to go with this accounting firm. As an added bonus, they speak English, international accounting firm. Of course, it's actually quite rare to find an accounting firm which will deal with you in English. Now, we kind of assumed that any meetings and things like that would actually be done in Japanese because it's my wife who was going to do or does do most of that kind of thing. But hey, it's a bonus if they speak English. I'll be perfectly honest, as good as my Japanese is when it comes to discussing tax and accounting procedures, I am not very confident with my Japanese. In English, I assumed I would have no problem whatsoever. How wrong was I? Oh my God. Now, this is not the fault of the accountant at all. I need to make that really, really clear. The accounting firm did an absolutely brilliant job. And if anybody needs an international accountant here in Tokyo, send me an email, let me know, and I will refer them to you because they did a brilliant job of everything. However, when the accountants came to meet with us and we had meetings, we ended up doing all the meetings in English. I think they kind of just assumed that that's what we wanted to do and things got left like that. This was problematic because my wife, although she speaks English and she understands English, couldn't really understand the accounting language that well. And guess what? Neither could I. You see, the language used was very much the language of accountants, and I know nothing about accounting, absolutely nothing whatsoever. And the conversations we had were about all these different systems available in Japan, the structure of the Japanese tax system, how we could save on tax with such and such a system, or in such a way, and the conversations were so focused on accounting and taxation and the jargon which goes with that. And to be honest, I basically didn't really understand what they were talking about for the most part, but it was in English. Why? Why couldn't I understand? I'm a native speaker of English. Surely I should be able to sit down with an accountant and understand all the things that they were talking about. But actually, no. And that's the point, really, is that I am not a specialist in accounting. And this particular accountant, as skilled as they were, possibly didn't have the English ability to explain these very, 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 very difficult concepts. Difficult systems that I absolutely didn't understand. And again, to be fair, this is my fault, not his. Talking to someone who had more of an idea about accounting, about the tax system in Japan, someone who had done what they probably should do, what I should have done and had taken the time to learn about it, probably wouldn't have had any difficulty whatsoever following his conversation. However, I was expecting to leave all of this to my wife to do. That's kind of how we agreed it. I would focus on what I'm good at. She would focus on that side of things. So I hadn't taken the time to learn anything about the tax system in Japan, and I just didn't understand. I didn't understand what was going on. This meant that we got more and more and more confused because my wife hadn't really understood well either because she was doing it in a second language. I hadn't understood well simply because I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And this meant that actually we didn't really know what we were doing and we had to just leave everything to the accountant, which of course meant things got very, very expensive very, very, very quickly. So in the end, we decided we had to change accountants. Again, I am not one to care about price. However, when you are paying for a level of service that is more appropriate to a huge multinational corporation, not to a business which only has 4 employees as mine does, you know, you kind of think, well, there's probably something more appropriate out there. So we decided to change our accountant. And this time we didn't go with a friend's recommendation. Instead, we went to a small business consulting service, explained our situation to them, and asked them to refer an appropriate accountant to us. And we found the accountant that we now work with via them. The accountant that we now work with only works in Japanese. They are a pretty typical accounting firm in Japan. Their specialization is very small startup businesses. Absolutely perfect for us, because that's exactly what we are. And again, if you're in Tokyo looking for an accountant and that is the sort of thing that you want, let me know and I'll be happy to refer them. Now, the thing is this now means that all of the meetings that we do is all in Japanese. This is great for my wife. However, for me, it is rather tiring to say the least, because although my wife is doing the accounting side of things, a lot of the questions that need to be answered relevant to, you know, exactly what it is that we do here in, Northbrook Limited is my company, but doing English, it needs to be answered by me. I'm the one who has the deeper knowledge of the company itself and all of the things that we're doing. And my word, these meetings are tiring. But the thing is, and this is kind of the point I'm driving at, actually, my comprehension of this topic, which I'm going to be honest, is not that great. I'm getting better. We've had 4 or 5 meetings with our current accountants now, and certainly it is getting much, much easier to discuss our needs and our accounting with them. But compared to the accountant which spoke in English, actually, I wouldn't say there is any loss of comprehension whatsoever. And this kind of touches upon what I consider mastery of a language. Mastering a language does not necessarily mean you are perfect at the language. I am not a perfect Japanese speaker, but I'm certainly not a perfect English speaker either. Rather, mastering a language means being able to function in a second language in the same kind of way as you function in your first language, forgetting that English isn't your first language, to use the title of my short film. And I would say I function in that accounting taxation kind of quite jargon-filled conversation about as well in Japanese as I do in English. And the reason why is because my difficulty in that situation, my problem in that situation is not a problem of language. This is where the LKC triangle comes in, this philosophy, the three things that you need to speak a language well. The first of them is language. Of course, you need language to speak a language. That is obvious, but language in and of itself is not enough. You need more than that. You also need knowledge. That is the K of the LKC triangle. You need knowledge of that context, of the situation, of the thing that you are talking about. That is what I lack when it comes to accounting and tax systems here in Japan. It's not necessarily the language. The language that we use in these meetings is, for the most part, just ignoring the technical jargon. But technical jargon tends to be quite specific language, fairly easy to understand from the context, and there isn't that much of it. The majority of the language that we use in these meetings is the same language as I would use anywhere else. Rather, the problem I have is a deep knowledge of the topic, and I am learning more and more and more and more about the topic, which is making the meetings easier and easier and easier. And that is why I could have the same meetings with an English-speaking accountant and the same meetings with a Japanese-speaking accountant and fail to understand the conversations at about the same level for both. It's not it's not the perfect ideal situation. You know, you want to understand them both really, really well. But hey, I'll be honest, it's not my thing. Let's put it that way. This is the same for you in English. Whatever conversations you have, whatever you do with the English language, whether you are using English in a business situation as a professional, whether you are meeting people, traveling, using English, making small talk with acquaintances, people you've just met for the first time, knowledge is an extremely important part of that conversation. Do you have the knowledge that you need? This goes quite deep. And in the Tokyo event, LKC Squared, we are going to talk in quite a lot of detail about not just what kind of language you need to speak English well, but what kind of knowledge you're going to need as well as the C of the LKC triangle, which I am keeping a secret for this podcast episode. You can find out what it is by heading over to doingenglish.com/event, of course. And there is an informational video which talks about it there. So, to summarize then, the two, because I did say there were two tips, but I've only talked about one of them explicitly, the two tips for speaking better English faster is, first of all, outsource your English learning. This is exactly the same for us with our accounting. We thought we could do it ourselves. We thought we know how to do this. How hard can it be? But we're not experts. We're not experts when it comes to tax and accounting. There are a billion ways to save money, to reduce the amount of tax that you pay. And there are a billion ways to screw up and overpay your tax. That's how the system works. You know, there are all kinds of bursaries and tax reductions for certain situations and all kinds of things. And if you don't know about those things, you can't make use of them. We didn't know about them, and we underestimated how long it was going to take to learn about them. And we kind of came to the conclusion that we just couldn't learn about them. It was going to be impossible. It was just too much. So we outsourced it. We outsourced our accounting. You can and should do the same thing for your English learning. You're learning English. You are here because you need to improve your English speaking for whatever situation it is that you use English. You are not a language learning professional. You are not an expert. If you knew how to master the English language, you wouldn't be here. Outsource it to an expert like me. I can tell you step by simple step how to master the English language, what you need to do, the things that you need to speak English well. The place to go for that, of course, is doingenglishplus.com. The Doing English Plus program is the premium Doing English program where I provide training, how to learn English, how to improve your English as an intermediate to advanced English speaker, where I provide weekly language-based lessons for you to study so you don't have to go out and work out what language to learn yourself, as well as a whole host of other benefits, including critiques on your English, where I will just tell you, usually without much effort on my part, because that's how long I've been doing this, exactly what it is that you need to do to improve your English now. To check that out again, head over to doingenglishplus.com. The second lesson, of course, is you need more. You need more than language to speak English well. You need three things to speak a language well, and you need them in balance. You need the L of the LKC triangle, language. You need the K of the LKC triangle, knowledge. And you need something else, the C of the LKC triangle. To find out what that is and to register for the upcoming live event, LKC Squared, How to Speak English. What was the title? I've forgotten what the title was. LKC Squared, How to Sound Intelligent and Sophisticated When You Speak English. Is that the title? I can't remember. If I can't remember, I'm sure you can't remember. So it doesn't matter. Head over to doingenglish.com/event and check it out. Right. I have actually talked for quite a long time about this, even though I said I was in a rush. Hey, whatever. Actually, I really do need to go. I need to leave the house in about 3 minutes' time. So I'm going to leave this here. I'll see you in next week's episode, episode 49 of the Doing English Weekly Podcast. Have a great week, guys. Those of you who are already in the Doing English Plus program, I'll see you around in the community. If you're not in the program, think about joining it. But for now, the main thing that I want you to do is check out the live event, doingenglish.com/event. Thank you and goodbye.